Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now back to On the Block with Eric Strickland, Jay Foreman, and Austin Orman.
Just Austin Orman with you now. Strick's headed back to Pinnacle Bank Arena, but we are going to keep on the same exercise that we're going through, handing out some report card grades for Nebraska men's basketball. 402-464-5685. If you've got any thoughts, any comments, or questions, I would love to hear them. Let's head back here through the text line. Dan from Canopy, we will get to a couple of those players here in just a moment, so hold on. Old Dad 34, we will address that at a later date. Eric says, Austin and Strick, you guys spend too much time together. Ain't that the truth? Thank goodness I get a chance to breathe. No, I'm just kidding. Love you, Strick. Appreciate him. We've been doing the show for 2 years and about 3 months now, and we're on the same page quite a bit. I think that's two ball knowers going back and forth. I like how that works out. 39.94, everyone needs a Sam Hoiberg on their team. Completely agree. However, did he look a little slower defensively this year? No, I don't think he looked a little slower necessarily. It's tough because Sam Hoiberg gets tasked with a lot of incredibly difficult matchups. That is both a feature of the type of player that he is and a bug because he's 6 foot tall. So if Sam looks slow, it's not because he's slow, right? He's got good end-to-end speed. He's jitterbug quick. We know this. We've seen this for years now with Sam Hoiberg. When Sam Hoiberg looks slow, I would say it's for one of two reasons. Number one, it's because he had a long closeout or had a long gap to jump to get back to his man. Or number two, it's because the player that he's matched up against is taller, bigger, faster, and stronger than he is, right? When he's matched up on Jacoby Gillespie, when you check out Kasperis Jakusconis, when you look at Dylan Harper occasionally, even some of Iowa's guys, right? There's never been any questions about Sam's competitiveness, his effort. And I mean, his steal rate of 3.3% is good. That's a significantly above average steal rate, but it's just a function of plain and simple biology. What is Sam blessed with? What are other guys blessed with, right? Sam makes the most of his gifts, and that is to be completely commended, but there will be times that he looks slow and behind, because what you'll also see Sam do sometimes is to make up for some of that, he'll shoot a passing lane a step further to try to get the steal. Well, then if he doesn't get it, it's a little bit further of a recovery to a guy with a little bit more of a head of steam. So 5034 says, give me a roster of 12 Sam Hoibergs would be the most lovable 3-27 team you have ever watched. I don't think Sam Hoibergs would go 3-27. I think they could get close to double digit games at least. Really appreciate Sam and his efforts for Nebraska men's basketball this year. Phil says, totally agree with Strick. In a season with too many games that the team no-showed, Sam was a guy that was always up for the challenge. Absolutely that he was. A few other players I want to get to here before the end of the show. Let's go through Dan from Canopy, his list first. Raleigh Wooster, I give a C- grade to. And Raleigh Wooster is the guy that I'm going to point to. Not to just make an example of him, because Nebraska certainly cycled other guys through this as well, but Raleigh Wooster is a pretty true point guard. And that's what fans were telling me all year. Nebraska needed, go get a true point guard. You need a true point guard. That's why things bogged down in the half court when Nebraska didn't have a true point guard. No, Nebraska does not need a true point guard, right? Raleigh is a very traditional point guard. Set other guys up, take shots really only when the moment calls for it. Not many more or many fewer than that. Raleigh was just okay. He was pretty much the same player statistically. But again, this is another roster that didn't necessarily amplify what it was that Raleigh Wooster does well, which is doing nothing poorly, right? Raleigh doesn't have a consistent standout skill. Pretty good, but not elite size at point guard. Good, but not elite handle. Shot looks good, but doesn't go down nearly as much as I think he would want it to. A little bit of a step back statistically for him. And I just think it was meh for Raleigh. It was fine. He was out there. He wasn't a difference maker positively or negatively, right? He was a relatively high floor and relatively low ceiling type of player for Nebraska this year. His true shooting percentage of 50.5% was actually the exact same as Bear K. Boykton Jones. Now, Bear K. took more shots than Raleigh Wooster did. Nebraska was 5-3 when Raleigh Wooster scored 10 or more points, which I think is a little interesting. Not that 5-3 is an incredible record, but if you extrapolate 5-3 out through the regular season, that's 20-11 or 20-12. That's two games better, you know, than Nebraska would have been with a game in the Big Ten tournament, most likely. So maybe Nebraska at times needed more aggression from Raleigh Wooster, another guy that I think struggled when teams went under, and Nebraska didn't often counter-adjust for Raleigh Wooster specifically. And the other part of this, too, is that Raleigh Wooster attempted 0 or 1 threes in 17 out of 31 games. Now, not that Raleigh knocked him down at a high clip. I mean, this season he attempted, let me see if I can get the totals pulled up here. Raleigh Wooster attempted 50 three-pointers this year, made 11 of them. His worst three-point shooting year of his career, just 11 out of 50. That's not good. I mean, free throw numbers were maybe a little low, but right in line with what he's done for the most part, certainly what he did last year at Utah at 71%. The jumper doesn't look broken for Raleigh, which is a little bit weird, but Nebraska needed him a couple times to step up, make a couple more shots to end runs, and it just wasn't always there. Phil says, I was impressed with his ability to handle the press against UCLA. They were getting after it, and I don't think Raleigh had an error. There were some moments in that game, and then against, I think it was Ohio State late, where Raleigh looked like the high school quarterback that he was, just kind of launching the ball downfield. Raleigh did fine. He didn't turn the ball over a crazy amount. I mean, 82 assists to 40 turnovers this year, 2-1 ratio. Fred Hoiberg once 2.5-1, but I didn't think Raleigh was necessarily turnover prone. I think the depressed number of assists is due to the other guys on the roster. And 39-94, I think Nebraska got all they were going to get out of Wooster. Yeah, I think Raleigh did the bare minimum, the baseline, right? That's why I end up with a C minus on him.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on. Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Andrew Morgan was an interesting eval for me. I ended up with a B minus or a B for Andrew Morgan, and this will wrap up Dan from Canopy's text here. Andrew Morgan was fine. The numbers would tell you he wasn't really that impactful of a player. One of the lowest Bayesian performance ratings, according to Evan Miyakawa, only 1.6 points per game over a replacement player, 1.8 box plus minus, both according to Bart Torvik. His player efficiency rating, though, was the third highest, according to Sports Reference. His win shares were tied for second on the team, three-way tie for second for that. This is a guy that had a not super high ceiling, a decently low floor. I mean, he was not all that great against Michigan, but you think about Nebraska going to him in the first half against Maryland, right? 12 points against Maryland to get Nebraska in a dogfight of the game. Where I'm a little disappointed with Andrew Morgan was free throw shooting, right? I mean, like 57%, I think, for the year. That's not good enough for the guy with the, I believe, third highest free throw rate on the team. And Andrew Morgan's shooting numbers were right in line with what he did at North Dakota State, except on lower volume. And when volume goes down, you tend to see efficiency rise. And Andrew Morgan wasn't more efficient despite fewer opportunities. I mean, he took, just from last year, he was taking about a quarter of North Dakota State's shots. He took about 20% of Nebraska's shots when he was on the floor this year and didn't necessarily make the most of them at every opportunity. And in my notes, I just have, he was fine. Perfectly fine. Perfectly adequate. Normal Big Ten big man. That's what you got out of Andrew Morgan. The other guy I really want to talk about here is Connor Asijan. I would love to know what you guys think of Connor Asijan's performance this year. What letter grade would you give him? We already had someone label him one of the biggest disappointments of the season, and I completely disagree with that. If you look at just the big picture sort of numbers, Connor Asijan was a little above replacement level, borderline starter caliber sixth man, which was pretty much his role for Nebraska. And I think he bore that out. some interesting numbers, right? Connor Sejan, his usage percentage and shot percentage were basically the same at Nebraska as they were at Wisconsin last year. He used the ball slightly less and took slightly fewer shots on a percentage basis than he did at Wisconsin, but that's a 1% difference. That tells you it's essentially he played the same role and played the same way he did at Wisconsin compared to Nebraska. I just thought at the end of the year, when you look back at Connor Sejan and the numbers, it's pretty much exactly what I expected, right? We thought Connor Sejan was going to be streaky, and he was. There were weeks where he wouldn't miss. There were certainly games where he wouldn't miss. There were halves where Connor Sejan was hitting nothing but the bottom of the net, and then it would dry up. And that's the next step for Connor Sejan, right? There were so many first halves that Connor Sejan got Nebraska out of a rut, stayed hot, would hit three or four threes, including some from really long range, spark PBA, and things were going Nebraska's way. And then he wouldn't get one to drop in the second half. When I look at Connor Sejan, it's great that he has the opportunity and the ability to rattle off, you know, say four threes in 13 first half minutes. That's great. Nebraska needed that off the bench this year. But I think on a healthy team, a guy like Connor Sejan as your sixth man isn't doing the seventh or eighth man job of every once in a while pop up and hit a three. Nebraska needs a three or two per half from Connor Sejan most nights, right? Not just total, but there were opportunities that the Connor Sejan had sometimes in first halves to bury a team that he would miss. I thought he took some from a little bit too far when everyone in the stadium could tell he was out of rhythm. And part of that's being a three-point shooter, right? You step into it with confidence every time. And I'm certainly not knocking him for that or that ability, right? I mean, he's a darn good shooter. And if you're open and you feel like you're in rhythm, you got to let it fly. Plain and simple, you have to. And I am not asking Connor Sejan not to shoot the ball, right? That's what he's at Nebraska to do. And he does a pretty darn good job of it. And I got some numbers to prove that, right? Because a lot of people said before the year, oh, Sejan's going to replace Keisei Tominaga. You can go back and check like 17 different clips. I said, no. Connor Sejan is not replacing Keisei Tominaga. He's replacing CJ Wilcher. So I compared those two. Connor Sejan shot 37.6% from three compared to CJ Wilcher's 39.4% 2 years ago for Nebraska. Okay, no, 1.8% difference, not huge, but 40 to 38. You like that nice round 39 or 40 number compared to a fringy 30, 37 number. But here's the other part of this. Connor Sejan ended up launching 59 more threes than CJ Wilcher and made 20 more of them. Interesting. Sejan shot more than CJ Wilcher did. He made more at a slightly lower clip, but not an egregiously lower clip. And then about consistency, because that, I think, is really the other part of this. Connor Sejan made zero or one threes 10 times in 31 games. CJ Wilcher made zero or one threes 19 times in 33 games. So one third of the time, Connor Sejan is making zero or one. 19 out of 33. So any right about, you know, let me do my math here, 60-ish percent of the time, CJ Wilcher is making zero or one threes. Again, different team constructs. They're not one-to-one comparisons. It's just factual numbers. Connor Sejan shot 40% from three in 15 out of 31 games. CJ Wilcher shot 40% or better from three in 16 out of 33. Both pretty much the exact same number and percentage, right? About 50% of the time, they were above 40%. Sejan certainly has more of a reputation as a gunner, took way more shots than CJ Wilcher did, and Nebraska needed him to. Which would you rather have, CJ Wilcher 2 years ago or Connor Sejan from this past season? I think there's a legitimate argument for both of them there. We're going to go to break here. We'll keep the Nebraska basketball conversation going. Got a couple more texts to get to you here on our Starter Heyman Jewelers text line. This is Old School, brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. We'll be back to wrap it up after this.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.